This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
This is my favorite thing to do because I think that very rarely do people allow themselves to participate with people, and I keep these things very private, but yet some people are extremely abundant in sharing what everyone else really needs to learn, the real questions about business life, etc. So my initial thought is just thank you for being so abundant that you're willing to be vulnerable enough to let people see who you really are, the inner workings of your business and professional and personal life. So thank you both for doing this.
Appreciate you.
All right, well, let's get down to business. I usually like to start just by where we're at today and then kind of move from there. So since last time we spoke, what's going on?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead.
You lead.
No. Go for it.
Oh, last time we spoke. Oh, man.
We were really focused in on how do we monetize what you've been doing for so many years. And it seems to be a common theme with people that are super successful in what they do. They start realizing, how do other people get so much more to do more with? And I see you both as people like that, that the only, for the sake of what, is, hey, how do we make this more available? How do we get more resources in order to effectuate more for more people?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say two things within that. It's a really great point, right? Like, but the things that come up for me around that is, how do you negotiate the balance between like strategy, where it's like, oh, here's a clear strategy, here's what people are doing, versus intuition and like what feels more aligned versus less aligned. And the third part of that is understanding your own history and your own psychology or interference within that, in that equation. Like, how do you measure that? Like, here's the strategy that people are teaching. Here's my intuition about things that I could do or that strategy. And knowing that I know what I know about myself, here's also where I could be interfering. Like, how do you navigate that?
So,
yeah.
In that essence is you have intelligence, which would apply to the strategy.
Yeah.
So it's okay, here logically is a total addressable community. Here's the critical business issues, life issues in which we can provide a quantitative value.
Right.
Therefore, the strategy with building a community, funnels, ad spends, that's logic or intelligence.
Yeah.
And then we have feeling,
yeah.
In being of the mindset that all three of us are,
yeah.
That intuition has a higher source of intelligence, but also has no idea of time.
Yes. Mm.
And I think pragmatically, that's where people get super confused because it has a higher level of intelligence, but no idea of time because to our intuition, time has to be infinite.
Right.
Right.
And so sometimes our intuition is telling us, hey, this is important.
Yeah.
But it's not telling you it's important right now.
Right.
And yet we think it's important right now.
Yes.
And I think in business that that's a reminder that we have to make of like, I just have this strong feeling, but you have to know that that higher intelligence has nothing to do with time.
Yeah.
And so there's one way to balance it is using time as a dependent variable to say, I have this strong feeling, therefore I may want to delay the decision to see how time is unraveling in case, or according to my timing and my risk tolerance, I'm going to go with my gut, the higher intelligence.
Right. Right.
Even though logic tells us this, and that's a conscious choice.
Right.
But I think a lot of people, just like they don't think about timing and risk tolerance, that they don't understand the one component that makes the higher intelligence or intuition so powerful is it's timeless.
Yes.
Mm. And it could be future lifetimes that it's going to happen in. Not even like a month from now.
Right.
Right.
And if we're living in man-made constructive time and you're making full intuitive decisions, that's why so many hyper intuitive people that channel, you have intuitive coaches, why they're not successful themselves in the pragmatic man-made construct of time, money, all the quantitative things materialized, is because time's irrelevant to your intuition.
Right.
Mm.
And so I think I got better because I'm a natural clairsentient, which puts me in touch with my feelings.
Yeah.
And you know, I would go for shit that was just absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
But intuitively, it was what to do.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong time.
Right.
I hear you. Yeah.
Right. But so I believe in this strategy of capturing intuition and letting it germinate, align with what's doing well today.
Yeah.
What I think is going to do well in the future, or what's just stable for a long time.
Yeah.
And then applying my intuition to those three areas. So, and I'm constantly reviewing the stock market, and I'll tell you why, in a pragmatic world. The stock market, it's so easy to see jobs, careers, and industries that are doing well now.
Yeah.
Right.
You just look at the top 50.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll start seeing patterns of, oh, this industry is doing really well.
Yeah.
And then you're not caught up in this, you know, this false belief that certain things are good. You know, mortgage rates are low, therefore real estate's not true. There's industries, careers, and jobs in real estate that are doing really well right now.
Yeah.
And then what's stable is really important to me, because in the stock market, you know, with how quickly everything's changing, you can see industries, careers, and jobs that haven't changed in the last 6 years.
Right.
They've been in the top 50 stable. They haven't moved.
Right.
Mm.
That's really valuable information, because now I'm hedging against the timelessness of intuition.
Yes.
Do you see how my mind works in strategy?
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then the lottery ticket side is full tuition. This is what I think is going to be doing well. But I think you have to have a percentage of your belief that I think this is doing well.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to spend, and I use percentage according to time. So I'm going to spend a minimum of 30 minutes on this a day and let it vet out this risky thing of like whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And so then the last part, which is a regulator of intelligences. So you have pragmatic intelligence and the higher intelligence, intuition. Then you have inspiration.
Yes.
Which is different than intuition. It's an energy in spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I believe that, and you two get this, so it's going to make sense. I'm always focused on what's interfering with the inspiration, and reducing the amount of time I spend in that interference.
Right.
I've given up on short-term fear identification and resolve.
Right.
I'm on an infinite journey to understand fear.
Right.
But I know now pragmatically that if I spend my day when I'm afraid, so I know I'm afraid, so I act like an asshole.
Right.
And then I'm like, is this because, you know, I was molested when I was 9? Is this because I have a genetic inheritance to be inferior, or like a past life I was in the Holocaust, or I don't know what I'm afraid, or, you know, instead I'm very in this idea of inspiration. It's how my the instant and obvious is how I react to fear. It has nothing to do with the fear.
Right.
But I know that if I'm mad, that is an instant and obvious reaction to fear. Yeah. And so for today, as I'm evaluating strategy, higher intelligence, and inspiration, how much time do I want to spend figuring out why I'm mad instead of just how can I have a practice of reducing the amount of time that I'm spending being mad? Because I know mad interferes with the two intelligences, and I would rather spend my time utilizing my pragmatic and my higher intelligence in order to effectuate more inspiration, which will give me more productivity, which will allow all these man-made constructs to be aligned with where I want to be. Good or bad to me is simple. Good is in the divine direction of where I think I want to be. Bad is interfering with it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, behavior, friends, you're a bad friend. Why? Because you're interfering with where I want to be or better.
Yeah.
You're a bad idea. Why? Because you're interfering with where I want to be or better.
Yeah.
You're a bad feeling. You're a bad habit.
Yeah.
And it's, we could have a bad habit for me could be a good habit for you, because that's where you want to be or better.
Right.
Who am I to say if you want to die at 18?
Right.
Then, you know, it's a really good habit to do cocaine, because it's aligned with your objective of dying when you're 18. This is silly, but like, if you believe in infinite life, then go for it, bro.
Right.
Like, I had a friend that was one of those Red Bull Fly guy, like the body.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, and I really respected it, and it made me sad too.
Yeah.
But he had so much faith in infinite life that this lifetime was going to end jumping off of mountains in that suit. And it did for him.
Right.
But he had no interference on his good behavior.
Right.
Jumping off of high places in a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Right.
And he died, and he was fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, dude, I'm gonna keep doing this until I die. Mm. And I'm like, you mean like until you're old, Dad? He goes, no, you know, until like this thing screws up and I hit the side of a mountain. And it was such an interesting experience to be a friend with someone like that.
Yeah.
Because I met him on an airplane and just sat next to him. And I know it was placed there to teach me something that just because I believe my journey is to 111 or more,
right.
His was like, could be 111 days.
Right.
Right.
And he had way more faith than I have.
Mm.
Mm.
So in business, I think this balance, as you called it, is a simple understanding of intelligence and then weighting our intelligence. But I think time, once again, is a dependent variable to get us to where we want to be or better.
Yeah. Mm.
And we could change, like Julie just changed that on me. We, you know, every time you ask me, when Miles goes to high school, we're moving to San Diego. This literally 2 days ago, maybe we should just stay in Orange County and find a place on Lido. I've been married 26 years. Like, we own a beach house in San Diego, and then it became beach house and penthouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like, well, I like our friends up here.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But if she didn't have that same perspective as I do, people put themselves into this locked-in condition. Well, we had a 20-year plan to move to San Diego when all the kids were grown.
Right.
Right.
And you do the same thing in business just because everybody else has the same strategy, and you have a different intuition. What if people didn't do that? We wouldn't grow. We wouldn't have new ideas. People calling you crazy and then calling you a genius.
Yeah. Right.
Genius is what? An expression of God.
Mm. Mm. You shared something really beautiful, David, that there's your intellect and then you have your intuition and then you have inspiration. How do you feel when people, you see the integration of all three of those? I feel like there's a maturity that you can really tap into, that you can intuitively feel something, right?
Yeah.
Right? You can intellectually counter
perceive it.
And perceive it, and you can strategize with that, and then you start walking that path and you start getting hits of inspiration as you're walking it, and then all of a sudden what you thought and your perception of time starts to collapse and this new path starts to unfold. How would you say to get people into that lane of not having to abandon their intellect, separate from their body and not connect to their intuition or tapping into inspiration? How do you feel like you bring all of those three together in such a powerful way? Because the way that I see that expressed is they're connected to themselves. They have a beautiful family. They're in joy. They're financially successful. They're not just successful in one area of their life. There's a beautiful integration. And I've seen you done that so well. So, sure.
I would love to hear you. It's a practice that I've instituted, this methodology of I'm constantly looking for clues on all three realms. I'm codifying or capturing clues because I can't remember. It's amazing how much you can't remember. And so I've really relied on technology to capture as much clues that I can. And clues can be intellectually stimulating, intuitively stimulating, or just inspirational that resonate immediately. So I'll capture those, and then I have Sunday practice of analyzing all that I've captured and finding patterns. And so the patterns allow me, it's kind of like where we're looking at the stable companies, it's a pattern that allows me to hedge in the real world versus the infinite world and the illusion world and the pragmatic world. And so I make my choices based off of patterns that were created by clues of what? Intelligences, pragmatic intelligence, the intuitive, and then the inspirational. So then I use time, though, to divide the choices by non-negotiables. And I think, you know, I talk about, I'm really trying to annoy myself by being honest with myself, but not hard on myself, and then be repetitive with myself. So on accident, I started reading the same things over and over again, and I realized, wow, that's where awareness is really at. If you can go counterintuitive and counter human nature to be repetitive, then you can understand things better because you're actually getting clues and patterns, and you're hedging your bet in reconciling time with intelligence, both intelligences, by making decision choices off of the patterns that we're relying upon. And so then that's where time in each day of having non-negotiables. It, you know, to me, I'm going to be repetitive and annoying to people outside that listen to this and to my friends, family. Kids hate the being honest and repetitive thought or instruction, but I'm going to be annoying with this because non-negotiables are the key to this life that you see and that I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
Because I just, in a comparative nature of human beings throughout history, in my own self-comparison, I can't believe like the activity I get paid for, my family, my health, my mind, like all these things compared to who I was 17 years ago.
Totally.
And it's because of this last step that I do consistently and annoy myself with. I'm honest with myself and not hard on myself sometimes, but I'm working on that. And then consistent, but 7 hours of sleep, minimum of an hour on my health, minimum of time with Julie and Miles and the three girls and my mom, and then 10 minutes minimum with people that are relative to me outside of that group where I'm just checking off a list. Then my finance, like that was a big one for me. It wasn't in my non-negotiables originally, that I'm like lacking the awareness of where I'm at today financially.
Right.
But yet people are judging, and I was utilizing it as a criteria in my own passion and purpose and success was my financial gain. But if I wasn't looking at it every day, the same way I was my health and my sleep and my family, how could I expect to grow and accelerate at the same pace? So I study balances. I look for clues and patterns in my finance now. And it's amazing how many things I catch. You know, and give a pragmatic example. Looking at my finance, insurance in California is a bitch. And, you know, we own homes. And so I'm looking at the pattern going, holy moly, they tripled my homeowners.
Right.
Right.
And in the past, because it's not that much money, I would have just, it would have taken a long time for me to recognize it. But because I look at it every day, the first time the bill came, I had a pattern and it was disrupted. So I said, huh. And so then I made decisions that lowered it because in my financial position, I don't care because I don't make claims. So I just elevated, of course, my deductible. But I'm still protected over a flood.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
But it reduced it back down, and now it was a good economic decision based off of all three of those.
Right.
But in the context, I started looking at my car insurance.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, it didn't really go up, but I have six cars because my girls are in college, and none of them want me to sell, and I'm stuck. And so I just start Googling, paying attention. Like, what do you do if you have lots of cars but don't drive them? And I found this thing called Metro Mile that charges you per mile.
Oh, wow.
So went from $12,000 a year to $200 a month.
Wow.
And these add up.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to my finances.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was minimum 10 minutes a day now. I go through every single balance in my latest charges, checks and credit card.
Yeah.
And I catch things all the time that are wasteful, duplicative.
Yep.
And so we need to do that with these non-negotiables. Here's my favorite lesson I've learned in the non-negotiables. Basically, I have 10 hours of non-negotiable a day and seven of them are asleep.
Oh,
so
wow.
It leaves 14 hours to do whatever I want.
Right.
Because I'm very confident that if all I did, if the day was 10 hours long, like instead of 24 hours, then I would be fine. Like I would keep growing, accelerating. I would be healthy, happy, wealthy, and worthy. Which if I just had the 10 hours. So my whole mindset of the day was, wow, everyone thinks that I'm busy, or that's their perception. But meanwhile, I wake up every day going, what am I going to do with the 14 hours? Like whatever I want. Like I'm gonna meet with, you know, these people at the stadium and have conversations and but they scheduled. You see how I run my time here.
Yeah.
I'm like, Bo, get out.
Yeah.
Like, I got 5 minutes. But I love that.
Yeah.
But that mindset, it feels like, gives you so much more space to be creative and expand and grow versus I'm stepping into the day and these are just all the things that I have to do for my 24 hours versus actually have all of my non-negotiables laid out. Therefore, I have actually 14 hours that I get to do whatever I want to grow my impact, grow the business, connect with people, do whatever you want.
Yeah, and or add time to some of the non-negotiables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like more time with your kid than 30 minutes or 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's really interesting because I know that this idea changes everything in your life. Just the simple idea that you're guaranteed 24 hours a day, every day, except for the last day of your life. I know people laugh when I say that, but it's a serious part of my life.
Right.
Like my perspective is, I'm guaranteed 24 hours a day. That's it. I'm guaranteed it. And I'm going to use it that way.
Yeah.
Like what, you know, and to do what I want to do. And I know that this is the bonus around here, the non-negotiables that allow me to be healthy, wealthy, worthy, and happy.
Yeah.
Everything else, if all I did was that 10 hours and I, you know, decided for the other 14 that I was going to sit and watch Netflix or do TikTok, I would be healthy, happy, wealthy, and worthy just from that.
Yeah.
Where I'm at today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. When you're deciding your non-negotiables, I mean, obviously there's obvious things, right? Business, finances,
sleep,
right? There's obvious things. You know, something my father, when I was a kid, my father used to meditate every single day. And I used to ask him, hey, why do you meditate every single day? He's like, well, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to see life from the perspective that meditation gives me. And for us, when we talk about growing businesses, we always talk about with our clients, like, you know, this accelerant of what it is that you want to create has to do with your beingness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just as important as the strategy of growing your coaching business is the strategy of growing yourself and making sure that you're of the right frequency energy that's going to match the outcome that you're looking to create. So like going to the beach is your job. Going surfing is your job.
Correct.
Spending time with your kids is your job. That's what
you're getting. Because it's becomingness, not beingness.
Right. Yeah. How do you measure those things that are more of the non-physical as non-negotiables, and how do you prioritize them?
Yeah, so the prioritization for me is always based off of, it's an individual daily. I think if you take it outside the day, you're missing the point of prioritization.
Right.
Because prioritization starts with the meaning of the past. It also is a trajectory of our own self-image of where we want to be or better, thinking where we want to be or better. But it's under the context of the external circumstances of today.
Yeah.
So this is where the five daily practices really come in.
Yeah.
So as I prioritize everything,
right,
subjective, objective, theoretical, philosophical, ethereal, whatever it may be, it starts with, what do I want today, personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise, aligned with where I want to be in the future by giving the meaning of the past aligned with it as well.
Mm.
And then according to the external circumstances. And a lot of people don't realize these external circumstances are only daily.
Yeah.
The rain, the flat tire, the in-laws, whatever happens with our kids, whatever it is, traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we last time, right? We got traffic.
Yeah.
So that changed what you wanted in the day.
Yeah.
And so for me, prioritization is knowing what's important to you is how we prioritize.
Yeah.
In a trajectory of where you want to be by giving meaning to the past. So if I know what I want today, according to those external circumstances in those four realms, personally, experientially, giving, receiving, and then know who I can help and who can help me.
Yeah.
And then how to use time with those non-negotiables. It's really easy to prioritize the important things and the unimportant things.
Yeah.
I can make quick decisions because I know what to do now and I know what to do next.
Right.
And my pipeline or my strategy is to always know what to do now and always know what to do next, which could be meditation. It could be doing TikTok. People get confused that somehow this is an OCD or always. No, it's just I know what to do now and I know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And I've created systems. Too many people put their intention or pursuit on outcomes.
Right.
I put my intention and pursuit on systems.
Yeah.
Right.
So you probably have already heard me even today ask people what's next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I've taught I've calendar captains. I've taught everyone to be a student of the calendar. They're on top of everything. And therefore, my mind, I studied my calendar. But I only studied it to make sure everyone else had a framework in which to help me facilitate where I want to be or better by utilizing the time of knowing what to do now and knowing what to do next.
Right.
And that's prioritization. And if you know what to do now and know what to do next, 100% of the things you do now get done, and you're already prepared to get that done again, so you're statistically more successful. But what really occurs, it allows you to see what's interfering with your potential, not searching for what you already have by going, I don't know what to do, what's important to me, should I buy this house, should I do this, should I take this class? That doesn't exist in my world. I know what's important to me, so if someone calls me right now and says something, it just fits into the activities I planned and unplanned. I either prioritize or reprioritize according to what's important to me. So if I get a phone call from someone, then I know, look, this is not stopping. That's just going to move into 4:15 because that's my next free time for a phone call. Or they're just going to get a text back saying, I'll call you when I can. As we finish up, this one other important element that changed my life is the difference between non-time and scheduled time. People all the time want to lock you in to scheduled time. And when you're helping them. So I get it all the time. Because I give anyone 5 minutes. Well, what time should I call you this weekend? You know, what time's good? Anytime.
Gotcha.
Because that becomes non-time. Because if you call me when I'm available, lucky, good. I'll take it. It's non-time. But if not, all I have to do, especially with the technology, is say, hey, how's 4:17 p.m.?
Right.
And now, it's how I do my group coaching.
Why
I can do so much in group coaching is my non-time.
Yeah.
Because if I had to lock into 6 a.m. every Monday, Pacific time, I'd be dead, and it'd be so expensive. I hate scheduled time because what if my son says, Dad, I'm free. Do you have 2 hours to do this with me? And I have a scheduled something. That's really expensive to me. In my values of what I'm important with. And I think to label things non-time and scheduled time, there's certain things, and if you're going to take my scheduled time, I'm going to charge you. Because there's a value to it. For me to, because I'm now, I have to prioritize you. And so therefore, I'm going to charge you.
Yeah.
So those are really helpful things.